This announcement is the announcement regarding the sign-up sheet for working and doing the grounds for this 2021. The sign-up sheets are posted for those interested in performing grounds work to serve as a positive witness during the 2021 season. Those who have already spoken with their crew captains, team leaders, and who have already committed to doing grounds work for the upcoming season need not sign up. Oh, and a scripture. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Check ourselves, be sure we're in fellowship, all of us. And we are in the analysis of verses 28 to the end of this chapter. This particular section is detailing a selective list of activity that was characteristic of the Gentiles in their moral departure as a result of their rejection of God. The two go hand in hand. Had they accepted God, no, they wouldn't have been perfect by any means. But had they accepted God, it would have tempered a lot of this activity and acknowledged Him. Not that it eliminates, it does not. It's not the point. Believers sin. So the section here, again, is one of these lists of sins and antisocial behavior that normal human beings with a conscience know are wrong. They do it, or they condone it in others. And just as they did not seem fit, verse 28, to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper. In the preceding section, their rejection of God as witness to them through creation, God turned them over, and they went off and manufactured all these false deities and things and objects of worship. See, it's hand in hand. You reject God, and then all this other bad stuff follows suit. That's why the world's in such a mess today. They do not acknowledge God. They don't, in many forms where we should acknowledge Him, we don't acknowledge Him. Oh, that'd be pushing religion. We're not asking them to, you know, but there had been historically, you know, you're going to tell the truth and the whole truth so help you God with your hand on a Bible? I don't know if they even do that anymore. Are they just telling them, you promise to tell the truth? This attack and trying to expunge God from everything in our country, it isn't going to work well. Even our nod to God stuff, okay? There's no depth to it, okay? But it's at least a recognition, a statement of recognition. You know, in God we trust. Well, we don't trust in Him anymore, but it's a recognition. It's a recognition principle. I hope this resonates with you. The Creator and all that He is, all that He's done, they disrespect Him. They disrespect Him. And of all who you should not disrespect, it ought to be God. Absolutely. Because if He can do this, guess what He's got in the next stage coming up for us? So they did not respect God. They didn't thank Him. They didn't seek Him. In no way did they honor Him. They looked at the creation. The conclusion is there. As clearly as if you walked into the room and I don't have one of these, but if I did, a $250,000 wristwatch. Yeah, they have those. And that's laying right there on my desk in a nice box. And I said, where do you think that came from? He said, well, some shop that makes watches for Philippe Patek in France, I presume. So you'd recognize where that came from. And this is just as clear in this creation with all that's involved. That they had this tremendous witness. And they turned their hearts away from it. They stiff-armed it. They did not desire a relationship with Him. And God gives these people over to do the things that aren't appropriate, as noted in the first session, being filled with all unrighteousness. That encompasses anything that people do that is not in line with God's righteousness. Whatever sin, minor, major, all of them. Wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, unreliable, unloving, unmerciful. And although they who, having known the ordinance or the requirement of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. This is a fun part of this too. Really enjoyable. This is the conscience part. Conscience is embedded in humanity. It's one of the attributes of the soul. A conscience. And the conscience is supposed to have in it norms and standards. You don't do that. That's good. That's a good thing to do. And develop this moral sensitivity. And if we're created in the image of God, then we come into life with an understanding of right and wrong. Now we may be brought up in a really bad environment. You know. But the average person is brought up in an environment where they are raised up to know the difference between what is appropriate and what isn't. That's why God gave you parents, gave us parents, to step in as necessary and correct the behavior. You do not do a kid any favor by overlooking their STA trends. You're not showing love towards them. You want them to grow up and want that to be magnified? Well, apparently some parents do. Because they create these monsters that go out and become monster adults. And do all these kind of things that are done out here. I remember my grade school and high school in South Dakota. Of course, that's back in the 50s, 60s. They didn't put up with crap. I remember a kid getting whipped in the boys' restroom by the principal with a rubber hose. You could hear that kid screaming all up and down the halls. Oh, that put the fear of God in everybody. You're not going to shove, because he had shoved an elderly teacher. An elderly woman who was an English teacher. This particular kid and his friend, they were bullies and everything. They all wound up in reform school. They're probably dead now. But he beat this kid on this rubber hose. You could hear him screaming up down the hall. I got sent to the office once. I was scared out of my wits. And all I was sent there for was I was talking in class when I shouldn't be talking. He didn't have to say a word. Don't do it again. Dismissed. So you see, the human race realizes there's an STA out. They don't call it that. A sin nature, an Adamic nature. I don't know what they call it, psychology. But systems have to be set up to correct this behavior, or they're just everything's nobody's safe. Criminality everywhere. That's what's heading. That's some of the stuff that's going on in this country. How can they just sit back, authorities, and let them burn Portland down and make it a dead city for some communists who want to cancel the culture? That's lawlessness. It should have been dealt with so much quicker than this, isn't it? And allowing people to just come across the border in all those towns and on up in the United States and fill the country with all these illegal immigrants. In Eisenhower's time, he put out an edict and 5 million illegals went south. They got the hell out of here. You want to come into this country? There are rules. And you need to pass the test. And if you were a criminal in your country, you can't come in under any circumstances. And we'll check it out to the best of our ability. And go study this booklet, and then we're going to give you a test on the U.S. Constitution. And if you pass it, then you overcome that hurdle. But no, this is what's going on. Again, it's another reason why we don't have much time left. If all these prophecies are true, the way I've taught them, everything about the U.S. and everything, we can't skate along for another decade in this mess. It's just not feasible. And we're not getting any help from the authorities that have been taking an oath of office to serve and protect us from this mess, from each other and from the outside. We're our own worst enemies. It's lawlessness. So another reason to stay in Bible class and stay in prayer. Stay in fellowship. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, and although they know, having known the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Okay, we are down into this. We have, let's see here. I'll just pick up gossips. The malicious types, they do things just to be doing it. Mean, malicious. Not necessarily for any personal gain or reason, point 37. Just do mean stuff. You've probably seen people like that. Next is gossips, which only occurs here and literally translated means whisperers. 39, such activity is to reveal personal and sensational information about another person, to disparage that person in the eyes, and that should be, or simply, of another, excuse me, or simply to be salacious. Number 11 in the list is another sin of the tongue, namely slanderers. This particular word for slander occurs only once, where the intent is character assassination. The cognate verb, katalaleo, also occurs in James 4:11. Excuse me. Where believers are told, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. Okay, well that's kind of complicated. One, take some time to explain it. I don't have it right now to do. 2 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Well, when you're the object of slander like that, then that's another thing. Because anyone that's a critic of believers in a local church, if they find out anything went on bad, they're going to run with it. They are going to run with it. That's just their nature. They don't have any doctrine. Well, they know right from wrong, but they don't have any doctrine. They cannot say, well, they have sin natures and they fail like other people. Well, this went on in that church. Oh, have you not read the New Testament? Maybe you ought to read about some of the churches, some of the stuff that went on in them, and come back to reality. Yeah, the Corinthians, oh, they were always doing everything right, weren't they? They're a funny group, funny in that way. The common term for this activity is blasphemia, which you recognize to be blaspheming. But when it's used of God, it's called the sin of blasphemy because you're misrepresenting Him, attacking His person in one way or another. False doctrine is blasphemy. But when it's towards a human, it's slander. A slanderer has no regard for the truth of a matter usually. They're just going to try to make and paint this person with the biggest tar brush they can to make them look bad. Oh, did you hear what they did? Turn and walk away. Do you know what this person did in the past? I don't want to hear it. That's the past. Haters of God. Again, this word only occurs here. Anybody who rejects God could be in his plan is in a hate mode. But this almost certainly has to refer to virulent attacks on God and His person. And I've seen some of them by some intellectuals. I mean, it was like, oh, wow. That astronomer, whatever guy, Sagan. Oh, I saw him in an interview. Well, he's thinking different now. Dummy. He knew there was a God. And he maligned Him. I'll tell you what the God of the Old Testament is. And he gives a whole bunch of big words. The interviewer, even the interviewer is going, that would be a hater of God. He wins the prize. He falls into the category. Overt, virulent attack on God. Which many of these people out there, if you ask them, they might be more polite about it. Oh, I don't believe in God. I have no time for God anymore. The head of NASA, well, he's not the head, he's the poster boy. He says, I'm through with God. No, you're not, dumbass. You just think you are. Sorry about the language. Arrogant. Hyperrephanos occurs. God is again one of the sins again, as we know, God hates pride. There's the pride of man. The negative volition in the world, he has names for us. Son of, well, for this one, it's sons of pride. And I see this all the time. You know, just watching some kind of a program on TV where people are interacting and there's hardly any reference to God at all. And they're having their issues and they're having this and that. And they can be kind and they can be this. And, that Hallmark thing where they do that. Yeah. And all these people, and they're usually attractive people, well-dressed, and they're going to get married or they're having this or this going on, blah, blah, blah. And they live in nice surroundings usually. They don't show them in shacks. They don't show that seedy side of life. And it's usually, not always, but usually fairly young people in their 30s and 40s that look good. And dealing with how they're dealing with issues and stuff. Every time I see that, I say, sons of pride. There's the sons of pride. I mean, I know they're just actors, but they're portraying what idealistically something that's going on out there. They're sons of pride. And that's SOPs. There's SODs, sons of disobedience. And there's SOBs, sons of Belial. Gotcha, didn't I? Belial was a Jewish derogatory name for Satan. And it's not just derogatory. It is derogatory. But it fits like a glove. Because all of us before salvation, we had a spiritual father. Satan. When Jesus said to the Jews, you're of your father, they're making this big thing. This is, again, disrespecting the Son of God and their very Messiah. We are not born of fornication. Suggesting that Jesus was an illegitimate child of Mary and Joseph or whatever. We have Abraham as our father. You had to be there to see these. They're really obnoxious. He said, you have a father. The devil is your father. Because you do the works of your father. You're a spitting image of your father. And your behavior. And that's all of us are born and into the family, and Satan is our spiritual leader, a head. When we believed in Christ, we got a new father and a new situation. We stepped out of that. That's why we're called in Scripture the adopted children of God through salvation. So I'd share that with you. Back to this. I get off track a little from time to time. Boastful or arrogant, excuse me, I was on arrogant, wasn't I? Arrogant usually is a more intense form. It's a manifestation of pride in people. This is a speech Mary made. She's inspired of God to do this. It had to be supernatural. She visits Elizabeth. Elizabeth is relative of Mary's who was carrying in her womb at the time John the Baptist. The promised child, the forerunner of the Lord, the one that was sent to Israel to announce to Israel that the Messiah was at hand and about to make his public appearance. And Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting. The baby leaped in her womb. Motility reflex. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, speaking to Mary. And blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she is blessed among women, because there's only one woman that was going to carry in her body the humanity of Jesus Christ. So that sets her in a category all by herself. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? The mother of my Lord would come to me. It's great when people have doctrinal insight. Here's two women carrying children. And it's about like 6 months apart. And they're relatives. And Mary's visiting Elizabeth. And she said, behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by my Lord. And Mary said, this is Mary's magnifax. Mary, Mother of Jesus Christ, speaking. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit rejoiced in God my Savior. See, she knew that that baby inside her was her Savior. What a trip that one is, huh? For one person to carry that around and know that. And live every day of your pregnancy knowing that the Savior of the human race and everything is in your physical body. For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. and holy is His name. And His mercy is upon generation after generation towards those who fear Him. He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their heart, in the thoughts of their hearts. And He has brought down rulers from their thrones. And has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, His servant, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. Well, that's quite a visit. Two believers interacting in time who had distinct roles to play, and they were both ladies, both women, both married women, giving birth to John the Baptist, Elizabeth, and the Lord Jesus Christ, Mary. All right. So arrogance is bad. It is an accelerated manifestation of the sin of pride, point 49. Boastful is the verbalization of pride. Running your mouth and arrogance. Again, listed in 2 Timothy 3:2, a lot of people are boasting. People boast a lot about a lot of things, even when they're telling people things. Well, we did this and we did that. It's okay to tell a story you went somewhere. I'm not talking about that. It's the mental attitude. Look how special I am. I just got back from wherever. I've done this. It's the mental attitude. It just somebody simply report, yeah, we took a trip to so-and-so and it was really lovely and everything. We usually cover it with, God blessed it. He really did. Of course, you can boast there too and be stupid. But boasting. Telling something about something isn't boasting. Necessarily. Inventors of evil include a whole list of things. Schemers, conspirators, con men, and all the rest of it. Only here. Some people dream up stuff to further themselves, to fool others, to whatever. And we've been victimized in our civilization by these inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents is a violation of the divine institution of family and was commonplace apparently in the ancient world, or it wouldn't be in this list. And it's not a good thing. So if you're a child, you're in Bible class, or a young person, you're still under the authority of your parents, you need to be obedient and obey them and respect them. It'll go well with you if you do. And if you're a parent, you instill that in them. Talking back, acting up, obvious disobedience with regard to directives given. Oh, I forgot. Well, you're not going to forget this. If you do that again, we're going to up the ante on your discipline. And in the same day, in the same way, manifest the fact that you love them and care about them. They will know that you both love them. Sometimes their little STAs are just crying out for you to discipline them. Really, I mean, it sounds weird, doesn't it? Like you'd want that, but it's almost like they're wanting help, inducement not to do that. Now, obviously, parents can be overboard in it, and I understand that. It's like everything. Don't deviate to the left, don't deviate to the right, stay in the middle. And if you do discipline your child, and you discipline them severely, you can let them know and get all your big emotions out of it. And this is the result of what you just said and did. You do not talk to your mother like this. Ever. So I'm going to light you up. And we're going to move on. Now, if you were raised in a home where people were extreme, I understand that. But that doesn't, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child principle. It's in Proverbs. All right, we'll pick up without understanding next time, and I'll be sure to go straight there. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.